Blog Talk Radio.
Delving into the spiritual principles of prosperity and prosperity in every area of your life, finances, career, relationships. That's where we are these coming weeks. We're talking about spiritual partnership, relationships with others, the journey to your authentic power. It's been a powerful journey, and we're in the book study of Gary Zukav's book entitled Spiritual Partnership, and we're in the nitty-gritty part of it. Hey, Dr. Reggie, how are you this morning?
I am living in the spiritual zone. Thank you so much for asking. I feel like I'm in the divine matrix, and everything is well.
All right, now. And then, of course, you know, our other co-host is Gloria Wells, and she's in the chat room, moderating the chat room. And we had a really good discussion yesterday. Gloria was talking about the book and how it was impacting. And this is a workbook. And I think Gloria really hit on it yesterday. She said, it's a lot of work. You know, a lot of times we just call in the circles of prosperity and we get inspired. I mean, I know when I read some of this stuff, I go, wow. Oh, and I'm on a high, and it's inspiring me. But Gary Zukav is taking us into doing the work. I don't care. There's so many times that I ask you guys, please practice. This book, he opens up about his challenges, and he lets you see how he's working through those challenges as examples. So we have to dig in. Therefore, I really need you guys to pick up the phone and call in and talk about some of the things that you're going through in terms of relationships, not currently, but even in the past. I found such clarity in what was my relationships in the past. And so that I'm gaining lessons from those relationships now, and putting and connecting the dots. So I hope that you will call in and participate with me as we go through this. I know it may not be fun, but it's going to be so rewarding. Dr. Reggie, can you take us into our morning prayer?
Mm-hmm. Father, thank you for giving us the divine construct of your mind that we live in. Let us never take this for granted. Let us never take anything for granted, but everything we glorify in ourselves and in your name. Let us create with the creation idea that all is well. Let us understand that things come to us for our divine lessons and a divine plan for the future. Let us love in these relationships and partnerships from newborn babies to the elderly, that we speak over these people in love and growth and maturity and wisdom. Let us not neglect any stage of our own life on earth, for we will be each of these things from the cradle until the end. We thank you that we are in this place, and every moment is a sacred, energetic moment to grow and to expand and to evolve. We believe it is so, and so it is.
And so it is. So today we're moving into chapter 13. He calls it dynamic one, growing together. So yesterday we were talking about equality. He laid the foundation that when you are in a relationship and you're coming from the place of the soul, that you are equal in the relationship. There's no superior or inferior. You are equals. On the soul level, we're all equal. And I love the way he ended that chapter. He says, equality is the perception that nothing in the universe is more precious than you, and nothing in the universe is less precious than you. And therefore, there's the equality, isn't it? He says, spiritual partnerships require it, and spiritual partners help one another develop it. Equality. Moving through life, recognizing and seeing only God in each other. All right, so now let's go into, that takes us into chapter 13, which I'm so excited about. The dynamics of a spiritual partnership are unlike the dynamics of any other, even the most dramatic images of difference, such as day and night, and light and darkness, life and death. They cannot convey the freshness, the power, and the potential of spiritual partnerships. Because these images depict completion and rebirth. As powerful as they are inadequate to illuminate the depth, the scope, and the purpose of spiritual partnerships. Spiritual partnerships, along with your multisensory perception and the new understandings and awareness that it brings, are not reborn experiences. They are appearing for the first time throughout the collective human consciousness. Spiritual partnership is a relationship archetype unlike any other in our history. Spiritual partners are colleagues, but not in the way that five-sensory individuals are colleagues. Just as students learning the same subject help one another with their homework, spiritual partners help one another with their life's work, their spiritual growth. What one does not see in herself, others might. Eventually, each sees in herself what she needs to change or to cultivate in order to create a life of harmony and cooperation and sharing and reverence for life. Hungry individuals crave food. Spiritual partners crave meaning. What does my life mean? Help me to see that clear vision. Spiritual partners explore together what it is and how to create it. They observe what attracts them and what repulses them, what keeps them separate and what connects them, and how they help one another grow spiritually. Wow. Man, oh man, oh man. That's a powerful relationship. I don't know how that's hitting you this morning, but can you stop and remember when you were 17 and 18 and, you know, you said, ooh, that girl is fine. Ooh, that man is fine. Wasn't nowhere near about this. Ooh, look at his car. And you, listen, I was 16, 17 years old. Guy had a nice car and everything. I would plan a whole wedding and everything with this person based on everything that I was seeing with my five senses. Had nothing to do with love, or actually had nothing to do with that spiritual growth. Nothing at all. And that was the first mistake. Here, he gives this wonderful example. He says his mother idolized him. I was exempt from her criticism and was the constant recipient of her admiration. Her adoration softened, it rationalized, and made acceptable to her whatever I did. He could do no wrong in his mother's eyes. I grew up without recognizing the difference between her love for me and the pedestal she built for me. I'm not sure that she distinguished between them before she left the Earth School, but my experiences of her adoration influenced my interactions with Linda again and again. I became angry when I felt that Linda did not listen to me attentively or replied absent-mindedly, and I blamed her for my anger. There's a big difference between holding a person or circumstance responsible for your emotional pain and recognizing a frightened part of your personality as the cause of it. Because in the first case, you need to change someone or something outside of you in order to relieve your pain. But in the second case, you need to change yourself in order to eliminate it. And this is the difference between what? Reacting and responding. Because in the second case, you need to change yourself in order to eliminate it. I'm sorry, I'm going back here before. So this is the difference between reacting and responding. Creating with fear and creating with love. Pursuing external power and creating authentic power. It is also the difference between wielding your creative power irresponsibly, which just means that you're just doing things, you're just reacting. There's no conscious effort put into it at all, no conscious decision. Or if you're using it responsibly, you are consciously choosing how you're going to respond. You know, let's roll this back a little bit. How many of you recall when I said to you that you were created as divine beings, and everything that you need in this lifetime, in this experience on planet Earth, has been provided for you? And you can sit here and say, Cynthia, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm homeless, or I'm not making enough money. No. Everything has been provided for you, and the way you but it's up to you to manifest it. And the gifts that God has given you to manifest your needs are your thoughts and your words. And so what do I say to you? Your thoughts and your words are your magic wand, abracadabra. As I speak it, I create it. Now let's roll this back, okay, because I've given you that principle, all right? That your thoughts and your words are your magic wand. As I speak it, I create it. Now, when you shift into your authentic power, you are consciously aware that your thoughts and your words create what you need or desire. And if we look at it in terms of what he's saying here, that when you're wielding your creative power, your thoughts and your words, and let's take it even deeper, your thoughts and your words and your feelings, because your feelings are, your feeling nature is really telling you whether this is going to help you or hurt you. But we don't pay attention to that a lot of times. We ignore that because when we're in the mode of external power and pursuing external power, we totally ignore all of those little warnings that our body is telling us. We ignore that. And then what we begin to manipulate and control the people and the circumstances. So when he gets here, he says, it is also the difference between wielding your creative power irresponsibly. That means using your words and your thoughts without any thought. You just blurt out whatever you want. not recognizing that you're creating your drama. Because that's the purpose. This is your magic wand, your words and your thoughts. And then he says, on the other side of that, if you're using your creative power responsibly, that means, okay, I know my words and my thoughts have power, creative power. They're creating something. They're birthing something. That's where he's going with this. You see how I'm rolling it all the way back to our earlier lessons so that you can see how you bring those principles into developing your relationships. Let's go on through his example here. He says that each time that I blamed Linda for my anger, and you know what? Just replace this, because I could easily say this. Each time that I blamed Dr. Reggie for my anger, I distracted myself from the pain that generated it, and a frightened part of my personality went unnoticed by me and unchallenged. In other words, I had an opportunity to raise my vibration. I'm putting this now in the terms of oneness. I've created a drama here because I reacted in anger. I allowed Dr. Reggie to push a button that I'm thinking he pushed my buttons and made me angry. Okay, that's a lower vibration. And I've created this drama. Now, what's the purpose of the drama? For me to learn, right? But as long as I continue to say, Dr. Reggie is the problem, and of course, I have done that. I stood in the shower one day. I was so angry, and I told God, I said, you're going to have to straighten him out. I can't deal with it. And I don't even remember what the argument was for. But I clearly remember standing in the shower saying that you're going to have to straighten him out. I was angry. And I thought he was the problem. But who had the anger? Me. You can't change someone else. You can only change you. So he's saying, as long as you're pushing it on someone else, you're missing the opportunity to raise your vibration. And that's what oneness was telling us, that the work is in raising your vibration so that when Dr. Reggie pushes that button another time, I don't respond in the same way. There's your growth. It doesn't even faze me anymore. But I had to work at that. I had to work at it. What did Gloria say yesterday? Oh, Lord, this is too much work. It's a lot of work. But let me tell you something. If you commit to changing these frightened parts of you, oh, my goodness, you will soar through life. No matter what comes up, you're going to be victorious because you'll recognize that there is nothing in this life that can destroy you. Even when they come and tell you that you're terminally ill, it cannot destroy you because you're eternal. And you know your creative power. There are a lot of people who've been told that they were checking out, they were going to check out, but something inside of them helped them to overcome. And they're still here kicking. All right. So listen, he says, when that part of my personality was triggered again by Linda, for example, I became angry again. So what you, oneness tells us that you will continue to attract the same drama. The names and the people may change, but it's the same experience until you change. So he says, recognizing the relationship between my anger when Linda did not adore me. Listen to me like a fascinated little puppy. And my mother's adoration did not prevent my anger from recurring. Discussing it with Linda did not prevent my anger from recurring. There's no analysis could uproot my anger. When I felt that Linda failed to listen to me, I became angry. And so when Linda and I began to journey together, my need to be adored in order to feel safe and valuable, it interlocked perfectly with her need to be in a relationship with a man in order to feel safe and valuable. And this complementary interaction between the frightened parts of my personality and the frightened parts of hers was our honeymoon, a prelude to potential intimacy. All relationships have that, have something in common. So the partners begin to see one another more as they are and less as they would like one another to be, like grass growing through cracks in a sidewalk. Previously unnoticed behaviors become visible. And so here's an example. One partner needs to dominate, and that's where he was, where he needed to be adored. And another needs to please, and that's where Linda was. He says, this ends the honeymoon. Fantasies of effortless fulfillment are replaced with interactions between real and complex personalities. When illusory perceptions dissolve and individuals in old-type relationships think that their relationship is failing, and then they focus on, oh, we got to save this relationship. And so then they go off to therapy, and then they explore their stories, they ask for advice, or they just try to get along better. And if all else fails, they settle for this painful relationship that fulfills neither one of them, but helps each one of them feel secure, or they separate. I mean, he has just written in these three paragraphs, the average relationship in America today. And he's just explained why they end in divorce. Breathe. Scan. Go back and just look at these relationships. Do you remember when you were just infatuated and, ooh, it's just wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? And then he does something crazy and you go, uh-oh. And then you ignore that. And then you go back into bliss, bliss, bliss. And something else comes up, uh-oh. You ignore that. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Something else comes up, uh-oh. And then the uh-ohs, because they're never addressed, really become, oh, I ain't putting up with this. And then it's Splitsville. That is not a spiritual partnership, is it? When fantasies of effortless fulfillment dissolve in a spiritual partnership, a spiritual partner challenges the frightened parts of his or her personality that react to real and complex personalities. So individuals in all type relationships attempt to change one another. And he defines that as pursuing your external power. But spiritual partners change themselves. And he defines that as creating authentic power. If Linda or I, for example, had not chosen to use our painful emotional experiences to grow spiritually, we could not have developed or deepened a spiritual partnership. We use tools that individuals in old type relationships do not have. And I can tell you, well, let me say this. Dr. Reggie is the only man that I have met that, especially at the time of in the beginning of our relationship, because of course as I have grown spiritually, I've met men who have been who are just tremendous in terms of their faith. But at the time that I first met Dr. Reggie, he was the only man only person, let me put it that way, that I knew who lived his life by faith. And it is an amazing thing to see someone move through life where God is first 24/7. And it intrigued me and has intrigued me all this time. It has kept me, I just wanted to be like that. And so our relationship was truly a spiritual partnership from the standpoint that he was so well developed, and I wanted to just match that. Now, look, we've been together 24 years, and a lot of things, you'll hear me say, Dr. Reggie says, okay, because he's been my mentor, not only my husband, but my mentor. And it was not until I started teaching in Circles of Prosperity that a lot of things that he said to me over the years began to make sense. And I'm sharing this with you to say this has been a 24-year journey in this mentorship, in this spiritual partnership, and I am still growing. And a lot of things that the foundation that he laid in me did not really click to a different level until 2 years ago. So now we're looking at the master number 22 before I was taken to another level in my spiritual understanding. All those years, I was unwinding these tapes, these frightened parts of my personality. Now, you could do it instantaneously. I could have. It can happen instantaneously. But I don't want you to be afraid to be on this journey. First of all, oneness tells us what? That we have all of eternity to get it right. So why get overwhelmed? Oh, I got all this stuff to do. I got to change all this stuff. No. It's just, you know, It's an evolution, and we have the time. Just make the commitment. I've got someone here. Good morning, 2345. How are you this morning?
Good morning, good morning. I am doing well. This is Gloria.
Hey,
and
Gloria.
Good morning. I wanted to clarify something right up front. The caller that you were speaking to yesterday wasn't me. Her name was Karen. So
oh,
I thought that
Karen.
Was fascinating. Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yes,
your
and you were calling her, Gloria, during the conversation, and by the time you guys ended the conversation, there wasn't time for me to jump in there and let you know. I think it's because the way she was asking questions. You know, I'm always asking questions. So
well, her
I wanted
voice sounds just like you, Gloria.
I know it because of the way she was asking the questions. So I wanted to comment just briefly on what she was saying yesterday about it being hard and about, you know, there's a lot to take in. I wanted to say about that it's our perception. That's part of what we're learning. It's how we're looking at what we're doing. And I would suggest that she make it a point to say that this is going to come to her with ease and grace, and therefore everything that she needs will come a little bit more easily. So I wanted to clarify that and make a comment about yesterday. There is also one word that's really jumping out at me about this chapter. This chapter is really good. Last night I read chapter 14, Choosing Roles. So in that chapter as well, the word is there again. So I really wanted to spotlight that word. I'm just really feeling like it's a word that may need some clarification for some people as well. The word is archetype. And I looked up the word archetype after I read the chapter last night. It, like I said, it was mentioned in this chapter, but in the next chapter, which I'm sure we'll go over tomorrow, it is really, they really go into what the archetype does. So I looked up the word archetype, and I just wanted to share the meaning of what an archetype is.
Okay.
An archetype is a universally understood symbol, term, or pattern of behavior, a prototype upon which others are copied, patterned, or emulated. So I wanted to share the definition of what an archetype really is, because Gary Zukav really does use that word a lot, and I think it's very important for us to understand what an archetype is. So I just wanted to share that and also clarify that wasn't me that you were speaking with yesterday.
I'm so sorry, Gloria, but her voice sounds just like yours.
I know it. And I'm actually just getting over a cold, so I'm sure I sound a little bit different. But I just really wanted, I think it was just the way she was asking the questions, and I just got a kick out of you calling her Gloria. But I wanted to,
I wanted
to make sure you had that right, because, you know, she did bring up a lot of really good points yesterday, and I just want to suggest to her ease and grace.
That's right. That's right. You know, oftentimes the challenges that we have in our own personality, when he talks about the frightened part, we spend a lot of time protecting that part of us. We have the mind, the rational mind can create wonderful arguments to protect that frightened part of you.
Definitely,
right? And so you have to really dig deep to overcome your rationalizations and to be totally honest with yourself of what may be hidden there.
Absolutely. One other thing that he's pointing out throughout the chapters is this paragraph that I just happened to be looking at says, experiencing the full force of the frightened part of the personality instead of shouting is very difficult. I mean, throughout this chapter, he reiterates that there is a level of difficulty here that we all have to face, that we all have to endure and go through, but it's most definitely doable. You know what I mean? It may cost us something, but it is doable.
It is. And with the right partner, there's always the underlying element of love, and they will love you through it instead of running.
Yes, yes. And I really wanted to touch on that archetype. That word really jumped out to me last night as I was reading, and it really made me go and look further at what archetypes are. They are just really powerful templates that exist, you know, and we fill those templates up with our personalities, you know.
Yes.
So I really wanted to touch base on that, and thank you for letting me share today.
Oh, thank you for sharing. Dr. Reggie, you want to talk about archetypes, because I know any of your mystery school students?
We do talk about the archetypes, and every archetype, of course, is different as a symbolic pattern or gesture, or maybe even Jesus himself is a divine archetype that the world accepts in Christianity as a symbol, a matrix of who he is, following a divine blueprint. And if you do that, that is your divine archetype.
Mm-hmm.
You're following the pattern and the process as a template to follow your life pattern of Jesus the Christ. Or some people choose Moses in the Jewish religion. Everybody has their own archetype, symbol or person. Like Gloria mentioned, the blueprint or the archetype, the symbol, the template to follow, the pattern. And Gary Zukav is using it as a part of our love and who we are as a pattern for loving in these partnerships. And every person carries it with them as individuated consciousness. And I might not like yours, you may not like mine, but we have to bridge somewhere together to blend these and to show love. And as she says, with love and grace, I love that. It's very tender to hear that. That when we do that, that's a very powerful thing. It's delicious to know that we can bridge these together and create a beautiful union, a beautiful partnership. And I think that's the height of all of it. And I'll let you say, when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. They do, with love and grace. I love that.
Wow. Thank you, Dr. Reggie. So let's talk about how Linda and Gary moved into their authentic power with each other. He says that they applied emotional awareness when we were upset. They were scanning for physical sensations in their bodies to tell them when a frightened part of the physical personality is active, because they are painful. And when a loving part is active, well, it feels good. So they paid attention to their feelings. If you've been on Circles of Prosperity for a while, you know how important your feelings are. There's a connection between mind, body, and spirit. Okay? We noticed our thoughts that tell us when a frightened part of the personality is active. How? Those thoughts are judgmental. And they're critical. And when a loving part is active, what are your thoughts? They're thoughts of gratitude, they're thoughts of appreciation, they're thoughts of care. So if my thoughts are judgmental and violent or addictively sexual, for example, I knew that a frightened part of my personality was active. And when we examined our intentions that tell us when a frightened part of the personality is active, it intends to win. It intends to be right. It intends to control. In other words, to pursue external power. Isn't that? That's just what I was saying earlier, that when you when there's a frightened part of your personality, the mind will be quick to come up with rationalizations to cover that up because its intention is to win. That's what they're talking about all the time and with the ego. That's what they're talking about with the serpent in the Bible. The serpent. That's what they're talking about in the Bible when they say Satan. It's not external. It's an internal thing that happens. It's you protecting the frightened part of you. This is what creates that state of separateness from your divinity. He says, if my intention was to dominate, to be right, or to prove Linda wrong, I knew that a frightened part of my personality was active. And then I chose an intention to create a constructive consequence instead of the destructive consequences that I knew the intention of the frightened part of my personality would create. This is the responsible choice. I chose to listen instead of speak. To understand instead of demand to be understood, to be patient instead of hurried, and so on. Whatever I chose, it was different and often opposite from what the frightened part of my personality would have chosen and wanted very much to do at that moment, such as justify myself or explain myself or shut Linda off or hurry through our interaction or withdraw or to shout. Linda did the same. As our spiritual partnership developed, I realized that my interactions with Linda were changing me in ways that I had always wanted. It took discipline that I did not even know I had and often didn't. But I was determined to change everything in myself that had caused me so much pain and so much loneliness, along with everything that I didn't like when I saw it in others. And Linda did the same. And I tell you, this statement right here, how he is describing his desire to change, is where I was in my relationship with Dr. Reggie. The desire to change. I was tired of being lonely. I was tired of being angry. I was in pain, and I wanted to change, and it was not easy. I will be the first one to tell you, it is not easy. Experiencing the full force of a frightened part of the personality instead of shouting or withdrawing emotionally or eating or shopping or watching pornography and gambling is very difficult. Spiritual partners support one another in experiencing their emotions, their frightened and loving parts of their personalities. And while they are experiencing their emotions, they make choices that will create the most constructive consequences possible. That is how I came to terms and continue to come to terms with the frightened parts of my personality that demands adoration. I experience the painful physical sensations of the frightened part of my personality when I am ignored or think that I am ignored. And at the same time, I choose a response to that pain. So instead of the reaction of the frightened part of my personality, I choose to respond differently. So, you know, I hope you guys stick with us through this book, because I think it's going to be so rewarding for you to move into your relationships from this place of authentic power where you are actually making choices. This is a very involved chapter. We're almost near the end. What will happen tomorrow is that I'll probably go back and do a review of this chapter, but I encourage you to read chapter 13 and read chapter 14, because we'll move into chapter 14 tomorrow where we're talking about choosing the roles. I love you guys. I do. I love you so much, and I need your feedback. So if this is getting too tedious for you, I need to know. I think it's awesome, but maybe you don't, but I need to know. So please send me an email, give me your thoughts, share with me how you feel about it. But I really think when we move into cleaning up our own mess, we're going to move into a state of joy. Dr. Reggie, you have any comments this morning?
No, I really enjoyed this chapter. I think it makes a lot of sense. And one thing that keeps standing out outside of the word archetypes is the frightened part of our personality. And we face those things as a dark mirror. And once we go through it, we get to the higher self of who we really are. And there is no need for frightened energies in being frightened at all. We face everything with faith and without fear. And with love, there is no compromise. We just do it, and we go through something to get to something. So we're thankful on every aspect of our personality, of who we are. And we're going to keep growing and growing and expanding and evolving. And we know that it's going to happen.
Amen. So why don't you go ahead and take us into our closing prayer?
Father of the universe and of all nations everywhere on earth, we thank you that you thought about us as an idea in your mind to bring us forth in emergence on this planet. We thank you that we have to stop learning to face our fears with fear. We face them with love and with joy and expectancy that we will resolve all of our problems, our children, our parents, our lovers, and our friends are all in our divine matrix, and they are part of this relationship on earth. Thank you for them. They are our archetypes to learn from and to grow and to expand and to evolve and to do everything in our power to know that you are in our hearts and our minds. And let us stay open and receptive as children with the wonderment and the awe of the universe. Never lose sight of the magic and the mystery and the wonder of who we are. We thank you for this beautiful lesson, and that we learn to grow in it and to expand. We believe it is so, and so it is.
And so it is. So have a wonderful day. We'll be here tomorrow. I don't know what's going on with our music. I love you guys. God bless. They sound just alike yesterday.
Oh,
I got to call Karen because she probably thinks I'm crazy. Karen. Doggone mosquito that bit the crap out of me. Trying to kill this mosquito. Yeah, that's for the phone. I'm going to plug that up over here.
Oh, really?
That's the little phone.
Right, the little one that matches.
Mm-hmm. I have to plug that up.
Where's the phone at? You left it at home?
No, it should be in that bag or in the box.